So first of all, we're going to hear from Darshi Jones. If you'd like to come forward, Darshi, many of you would know, Darshi's just come back recently from visiting the Mali children's family over in Kenya, and she's going to share with us now.
Thank you, Don. As Don said, yeah, I'm Darshi Jones. I probably don't know quite a few of you. I had the amazing opportunity to go visit the Mali children's family about 2 weeks ago and spent 6 days there. And St. Elf's has been partnering with MCF both through prayer and providing financial assistance now for about 4 years. MCF has been caring for the beautiful, beautiful Kenyan street kids for about 17 years now. They do it via 3 homes where you actually have currently about 700 to 800 children that actually live there permanently, as well as 2 community projects. In those 17 years, they've had 1,700 children actually go through the program entirely. There is a very strong focus on education and spiritual nourishment. Just to share with you some statistics, on the education side, they're going to have this year 8 graduations from university. And on the spiritual side, there have been something like 600 baptisms. That's not necessarily just even the beneficiaries of MCF, but a lot of the visitors as well have been baptized MCF. So it's a very encouraging, uplifting, beautiful, beautiful, special place to actually visit. I know a lot of my friends, in particular my non-Christian friends, say to me, wasn't it really depressing? Didn't you find it difficult? Because obviously these beautiful children have had a really rough time. Most of them have come from the streets. But it was quite the opposite. You can actually, I was saying to another friend of mine, the amazing work that God is doing through MCF smacks you in the face. It is just hard to, you can't miss it. It's just an amazing, amazing place. In terms of some of the expansion and I suppose the concrete stuff that you can see that's been happening, they have a farm at one of the main sites in Delani whereby most of the food that's actually consumed by the children is grown on site. It has expanded considerably in the last 2 years. They've got permanent irrigation now. There are dams that have been built and another one that's already been constructed as well. More recently, a greenhouse has been put in place where French beans are being grown and exported to Europe. Last year alone, this was prior to the greenhouse where they were actually using the fields. Last year alone, they exported 45 tons to Europe. So it's just amazing. And the greenhouse at the moment is they're expecting their first crop and they're expecting the return on their investment within 3 years. I probably should confess I'm an accountant, so I like the numbers. So I suppose both from a spiritual perspective and very much what you can see as well, it's amazing the growth that this place is actually experiencing. And even via the housing, you probably could see with some of the shots that they've gone from rather temporary, very rudimentary corrugated iron housing, if you like, to actual masonry housing as well, which is constructed by the students of MCF. Because in addition to the academic education that they provide, there's also a lot of vocational training. So a lot of the ironwork, the masonry is actually done by the actual students. So I can go on indefinitely, but I promised Don I wouldn't. So I would love to speak to anyone that has any questions for me. Just wanted to finish up by saying, in the 6 days that I was there, I actually went with the intention to hopefully try and contribute in some way. And I, in those 6 days, pretty much helped out in the kitchen and on the farm. I left feeling that I was the one that benefited the most out of it. And initially, that was a hard thing to come to terms with because that wasn't my intention, but I felt truly blessed for the experience. So I encourage you to continue to keep MCF in your prayers. They're coming up to a potential period of drought yet again. They survived one in February, and they do definitely ask for your prayers and also be encouraged by the amazing work that's actually taking place there, because it blows you away. So in addition to being providing a real need in Kenya, I actually think MCF is an actual evangelical tool. It's just a beautiful place. Thank you.
You didn't happen to smuggle any bananas back with you, did you? I saw all those big bunches of bananas there. Next, we're going to hear from the Weatherlakes, or Phil. Kathy are going to come forward, and the family, yes. Phil and Kathy and children went on a trip around Australia, extended trip around Australia last year, and it wasn't just a holiday. They're going to share with us some of the things that they did on their journey.
Hi, I'm Kathy, and we've got Philip, Lauren, Daniel, James and Sarah, for those who don't know us. A few years ago, we decided we'd do the classic three-month camping trip around Australia when our children were old enough to march up many mountains. And so as we were planning this last year, we decided to turn the 3 months into a six-month trip and do some voluntary work. We really felt called to do some voluntary work along the way. After talks with various people, we decided we'd do some work for BCA, Bush Church Aid and Wycliffe Bible Translators at a few different places. So this added to a wonderful dimension to our trip. We had a fantastic time climbing up mountains and touching crocs, but also the voluntary work was fantastic. And this didn't fall off the camper trailer. This is Sarah, the weather girl's pointy stick, to show you a few places we went to. And then Phil's going to speak a bit about what we did.
Could I go? Just have the first slide up, Liz. Yeah, so we did do it in a camper trailer for 6 months, and that's a typical view that greeted me first thing in the morning with four kids on the floor asleep. And just keep rolling through. The first appointment was in Darwin, up the top there, and that was with Wycliffe, Humpty Doo, just east of Darwin. And we offered ourselves in any capacity, but all these people also want practical help, want actually things built or dug or whatever, or buried. And so I got the kids hard at work, just keeping the James slogged out in that trench. I just stood and watched most of the time. Next slide, please. Yeah, and Sarah the same. Those laying cables to a new outbuilding where they have an office. Where are we going? Oh, that's just camping shots in the camper. That's just green ants. A lot of green ants on the garbage bags in over there. And Lauren and Kathy shoving in the outside walls of the home. This is Roger and Lucy. Not Roger. Who were they? Alan and Lucy. Sorry. The next one. Oh, that's a skink and a mug. And there they are, the lovely couple there who did a great job hosting us, had us in the house a number of times, and we just camped in their backyard. Lovely, big, huge property, all these tropical plants. And this is Broome. That's the next one, Broome, across the other side there, down there. And we stayed 2 weeks in Broome, and I sort of, it was mostly by myself, but also had a bit of help from Daniel and Lauren painting bits of timber. We basically refurbished 3 windows at the back of a 100-year-old heritage-listed church. And that was pretty hard work for about 2 weeks, for most days 2 weeks. And next one up, please. There, the window's all finished there. And they were, in the end, they were very, very thankful and appreciative. It's really, we had a nice blessing as we were sent off from that one. And, had a lot of fun on the beach as well, and the pool at the caravan park. Just one thing there I should mention is that really felt that God was very much in what we were doing there, because when I said to the locals there who were very helpful, you need to get, I wanted certain materials, I wanted timber moulding is cut on a curve and sourced that in Broome. He said, I don't know if you're going to be able to do that, mate. I was literally the first number I rang in the phone book. The bloke was there. He was available, not far away. I drove up there. He learnt what it was about, voluntary work. Oh, I'll help you out for the church sort of thing. It's very, very, very good price. Did it very quickly. Did a beautiful job. Replication what was there for the Heritage Listed Church. So that was amazing. He just did it really, really quickly and beautifully and for a good price. And people thought it might not be possible. So it was God at work there. So the next one through. Oh, that was just Port Hedland, the next spot where we did a bit of work there. That was basically just odd jobs. Once again, we stayed outside the vicarage. Oh, it was a vicarage there that time, when we just put our camper trailer out on the side of the yard there and did odd jobs all around the place. The minister there and his wife go out once a month to Marble Bar, which is inland, that little bit there. So a little, quite a long drive into Marble Bar, and that's the Anglican Church in Marble Bar, with about four regular parishioners come each month, four women, and we took a bit of part, a little part in the service there on the music team, and then back at base in Port Hedland, we did various jobs like mowing lawns and taking trash out for a sort of a lady who wasn't loosely connected to the church, doing her rubbish and odd jobs around the place. And once again, though, you know, people who outside come in to help, the people who are helped really appreciate that and really think it's a real blessing. It's a blessing to us to know that we're a blessing to them. So to keep on going here, next slide. And that's Bill and Jackie. Yeah. And next slide along. And that's just driving across to down the coast there. Just keep it going. Down to Mount Magnet. Now, it's all the way down to the northeast of Perth here. You're inland from Geraldton. And they were incredibly welcoming. And that's Bill and Jackie were incredibly welcoming. And that was an old veranda which was termite infested. And our job was to rebuild that. And this was set up, a lot of planning involved in this, to set up to have these steel posts prefabricated before we got there, months beforehand. That was a lot of work there. Once we got there, the posts were all there, ready to go, which was great. And next slide. And, yeah, Daniel did do a bit of real work there, doing some digging for the post holes. Next slide. That was just a local in his house, which is a friendly local who showed his house, which is really good. Next one. And they took us out to a local spot that had all their visitors to, out just a few K out of town for this barbecue, which is really nice, and the sunset. They were really very, very lovely, welcoming people. And we had a lot of chats to them and learnt just to live in a community like that, live in an outback town and learn about the people and walk the streets and go to the local hardware shop and go to the local butcher and go to the local whatever shop and go to the local supermarket, meet people and go to the community arts display. And it was all a part of the experience. And Bill and Jackie were greatly appreciative of our help there. And that was all, that just added a lot of richness to our holiday, basically. The next slide, just about there, I think, just finishing off the veranda. This next one, and just last one coming up, all job done. And it worked really well. Once again, just sourcing materials, that just seemed to come, everything seemed to fall into place. But if you want something, it's always there ready to be, it's always there available there the next day, even though you're in a remote spot, they just ship it in from Geraldton. I didn't mention others, in Port Hedland we had to get a shelf, and I go to the hardware store to buy a shelf, and it is a certain size, a certain length, literally the last shelf in the shop, and it's exactly the size I need to put in a certain spot. So everything seemed to fall into place in God's hand, even though it was just practical stuff. It's not going out and witnessing to people in a specific way, but it was all practical stuff, helping people who were working, doing God's work, and God was very much in it, and we felt greatly blessed by that.
Thank you. Thank you. And now I'm going to ask next to have Bev and Mavis and Pam, if they could all come forward. They're going to share with us a little bit about the work of CCS. Starting off with, I think Bev's going to go first. Yeah, talking about teaching RE.
Hi, my name's Beverly. I teach Christian religious education at Old Orchard Primary School, which is one of the local primary schools. I take two classes a week. They're a 1-2 composite class. This is my fourth year teaching RE in Victoria. I did teach in New South Wales some time ago. But it took me a while to actually listen and obey God down here. After he told me for a few years you should get out and do it, it took me a while to actually answer and obey him. But I really enjoy it. It is a wonderful ministry. The teachers in both my classes make me feel welcome every week, and they're very good in their effort to see that the children are well-mannered and are attentive. The children, in fact, are absolutely delightful. I'm really blessed in the classes that I have. They're very eager to tell you about themselves, what they've been doing during the week or whatever. And they always notice things about you. I'll just give you, for example, you know, you walk in the classroom, you've had your hair cut. Okay. The next week I go in, you've dyed your hair. Okay. So you sort of They're really good. You can't get away with anything. Okay. They enjoy meeting you at the local shops. It is just one of the things that they really telling whoever they're with that this is my RE teacher. And, of course, it's really lovely to be able to actually go over and speak to parents that might be there with them. I remember one little boy, Bobby, who I had a couple of years ago. I was just going into Golo, and he saw me coming in. Hi, Beverly. You've got to come and meet my mum. And he grabs me by the arm, and then we go to Golo. This is my mum. This is Beverly, my RE teacher. And we had that opportunity just to speak together, and that was really lovely. In fact, I saw Bobby about a month ago, and he said, hi, Beverly, do you remember my name? And I did. I remembered that name. So, sometimes I have difficulty with hearing the children. I've explained to them I'm partially deaf and I wear hearing aids. So could they please use big voices when they're talking to me? I was talking to a child at a table just the week before school broke up. And I was attending to her, you know, she was doing some work and talking to her, and I could hear this voice beside me saying, Beverly, Beverly. And I thought, I'll just ignore him for a minute until I finish with this child. And straight across the table from me, about 2 feet away, she's deaf, you know. And I was chuckling. And I hear this voice again, Beverly, Beverly, she's deaf. And I finally turned around and said, I'm not that deaf. I'm just waiting till I finish before I talk to him. So this ministry gives me immense satisfaction. The children are so appreciative of my being there, and they're very reluctant to see you leave. Mind you, you're only there half an hour a week, so that could have come bearing on it. So. The material provided by CCS is wonderful. It's very easy to follow, and in fact every lesson is planned out for you down to how many minutes you should actually spend on each segment. So if you think you can't have trouble witnessing, believe me, this is a wonderful way of doing it because your whole lesson is planned for you. So you really don't have to think about what you're going to say. Just get your prayer support from your prayer partners every week, which is what I do, and you can go ahead and do it. This weekly CRE lesson may be the only time the children have a chance of learning about Jesus and about God's love for them and for the whole of mankind. So it is a real privilege to be able to go into the classroom. If you could please continue to pray that God will call others to this ministry, and in particular that I can continue despite having the occasional hiccup with my hearing. Thank you.
I also teach CRE at Old Orchard Primary School, but my larger role is to manage the whole CRE program for Victoria. So one of the things that I have the privilege of doing is going and speaking to ministers and talking about this immense privilege that we have of being able to go into state schools and to talk with children about who Jesus is. One of the other things that we do is I'm involved in looking at rewriting the curriculum, and we're involved in a big rewrite of that over a period of probably take us 9 years. And also just looking after overseeing the training of our CRE teachers, which happens throughout the whole of Victoria. And we have in each area in Victoria, we have someone who's a regional coordinator. We have 40 of those throughout the state, so that people like Beverly are connected in with someone, who happens to live in Vermont, and we run a conference for all of those regional coordinators. It's a great privilege to be involved in this because something about 7% of children in Australia are connected with the church in some way. But we have this opportunity to be able to, each week, talk with children in state schools about who Jesus is.
Like Mavis, I work in the CCS head office in the city, and I'm responsible for chaplaincy programs across Victoria. CCS employs about 70 chaplains in state schools in Victoria, in metropolitan area, and also in far-flung places like Bairnsdale, Mildura, Wodonga and Horsham, and everywhere in between. And through those 70 chaplains, they're in probably nearly 80 schools, mostly secondary colleges, but more and more primary schools are coming to us and saying, please give us a chaplain. And probably 50,000, we've worked out over 50,000 children are connected in some way with Christianity through having a chaplain in their school. The chaplain's role varies from place to place, but they provide an openly Christian presence in the schools that they're in. They are known as Christians. They provide pastoral care, sometimes one-on-one counselling, but sometimes just being in the playground, mixing with the kids and being there, having the time that teachers don't have to stop and listen. They provide an educational input in many, many ways, sometimes through programs, sometimes classrooms and other ways, and often leadership roles within the school. I know of a number of chaplains who the first thing they do when they go into the school is debrief with their principal, maybe for half an hour of a morning, and provide that support for the leadership of the school, advocating for students. And many of our chaplains regularly, unfortunately, are involved in running funerals, sometimes weddings as well, but often when there's an incident, a critical incident, and someone dies, members of the school community don't have a local minister or a church that they're part of that they can go to the minister, and so they go to the chaplain who's well known to them and connected with them and saying, please, could you be involved in this with us at this time? For my role, please pray for me as I have a very important role in selecting chaplains. We have people on Friday, for example, interviewed number of people who are wanting to be chaplains, and for me, as I work with those people to discern God's direction, God's guidance, and also as I visit principals about placing chaplains in schools and possibly starting up a chaplaincy program. At the moment, you may have been aware that there's been some media attention to chaplaincy, possibility of federal funding for chaplains, and as we meet with politicians and other leaders in the community about possibilities. I guess connected here, there's a chaplain, Megan Thompson, at Blackburn High School, and please also pray for Megan and the work that she does in that school. I know Heather Mitchell is on the chaplaincy committee. Every chaplain has a support committee in the community, and just over half of the cost of the chaplain is raised from the local community, and St Alfred's contributes to the chaplaincy program at Blackburn. But nearly half, a considerable amount, is also given by the schools, mostly out of their global budget. And so there's a real longing, I think, from state schools, people in schools, to have some kind of Christian presence, the sort of presence that a chaplain can give. So I'm asking you to pray for me in my role, for Megan and the work of chaplaincy at Blackburn, but also for the growth, I guess, of this opportunity to have a Christian input to many, many young people that they wouldn't otherwise get.
Thank you. Thank you, Beverly and Mavis and Pam. First of all, Cara, if you'd like to come forward, wherever you are. Many of you would know Cara, I guess. Cara comes mostly to the evening congregation, but also comes sometimes in the morning and is one of our worship leaders in the evening. Cara also is going to tell us a little bit about her work at La Trobe University.
Thanks, Don. Yep. There's a few things that I love doing. One of them is wearing jeans and casual clothes. Sometimes with a bit of a, you know, hippie flavour. I love having great, juicy conversations with people, significant conversations. And I also love seeing God transform people's lives for his pleasure. And I get to do all of these things at La Trobe University 3 days a week. There's 20,000 students at La Trobe University. Over 60 countries are represented there. This is actually where I studied. I studied speech pathology, graduated 2.5 years ago there. Why am I at La Trobe Uni? Well, to see God transform people's lives, And I think particularly university for me, because it is a time of change for people. At uni, people are becoming independent, questioning the values that they've been brought up with. It's a time of change, and it's a time of setting your life's course and deciding key things for the future. I work with an organisation called AFES, which is the Australian Fellowship of Evangelical Students. So that's all around Australia, and there's also an international body called the IFES, which is International Fellowship. This is the Australian one. The aim of AFES is to proclaim Jesus Christ at university, to present they're mature in Christ from Colossians 1. I'm doing a 2-year traineeship at La Trobe Uni, which is 3 days a week, and I do that with training and mentoring, and I do that. I can't do it without prayer and financial support. So what I do at uni is I'm part of a team. There's a few chaplains, and key things that we do is share Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel, with students. We also encourage Christians to grow in their faith in Christ. We also train students in skills and character to serve Christ, not only in Australia but throughout the world. That's also sending. It's very much an idea of wanting to send students to grow them and train them so that they can go out and serve their churches and the world. So my particular focus is international students mainly. So that's focus, and also I spend some time with Aussie students as well. So focus is a fellowship of overseas Christian university students. Basically, it's international arm of the Christian group. The slogan that we have is, we make friends and we meet Jesus. Really simple. So on Friday nights we gather, and we gather in someone's home. A married couple have purchased a house to share with international students. So it's a 6-bedroom house. There's 3 couples living there. And they've got this huge shed out the backyard that we all gather in. And it's just great. We have Friday nights, we have dinner together, games, make friends, we have singing, praise and song, and we have Bible studies. Most of the people that come on Friday nights, I would say probably about 70% are not Christian that come along. We have usually about 40 students that come each week to Friday night. We also have camps, so we take them, show them Victoria, show them the sites. So we went down to the Great Ocean Road at Easter time. So that's where we were, on the Great Ocean Road. We have social events, care and support for the students. So it's a new country, they don't know much. We show them Aussie culture and we share with them our lives. And we also try and meet up. So I meet up with a lot of students one-to-one and try and, encourage them if they're wanting to know who Jesus is, to ask questions and meet with them and look at the Bible and pray together. I also try and spend a bit of time in, like, the alternative networks of La Trobe. I guess I feel a bit of an affinity with that community. So I spend time with the Fair Trade Club and the Organic Cafe, and it's good fun, and I've just made some great friendships there. And I recently met a woman, and she said, oh, would you want to meet up and have a chat about faith? I'm like, absolutely, let's do it. So it's a great opportunity and experience. This verse from Romans 10 really spoke to me before I decided to do this traineeship. It hit me in the face, actually. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So this, plus many other things, really said to me, go, you need to go. And I want to go. So I'd encourage you to consider where you are. Where does God want you to go with the people that you're with? How does he want you to preach and be sent? That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Robin Boyd. Robin's been involved in an outreach, a dental mission, and he's going to tell us a little bit about it.
This is a dental story with an unlikely beginning. Croydon Hills Baptist Church run a Thursday night soup kitchen in the grounds of the Croydon Anglican Church. It's for the homeless and welfare recipients. And some of our youth have assisted with the soup kitchen on a couple of occasions. The coordinator is Liz Broadbent, whose daytime job is dental nursing. Her vision for an additional ministry for her group came when one night she witnessed a man using a stick and a rock to knock out his friend's painful tooth. She thought that there had to be a better way. She prayed that God would help her to help them. She worked with the fact that nothing is impossible with God. At each stage, God opened doors through a series of miracles with donations of money, gifts of time and goods. She purchased an old school dental van. The van was stripped, rust-proofed and painted. It was fitted with an X-ray machine, provided with a laptop computer with a dental program on it for records, as well as all the necessary instruments and materials for a fully functioning dental surgery. And I'd seen colleagues who'd gone off to places like Vietnam and Fiji and done really full-on dental voluntary work, and I knew that I didn't have the stamina for that sort of thing. So this ministry opportunity has come up. Elizabeth Hamer, another dentist, and I, with Mufunwi Hamer's dental assisting, go one Thursday evening a month to do dental emergency treatment. The work has been mainly extractions with the conventional local anaesthetic and forceps, some fillings and dentures for extremely grateful people who have otherwise slipped through the system. Our prayer for the ministry is to show the love of Jesus to the recipients. Our personal prayer need is for protection, as a number of the patients are current or ex-drug users who are carriers of lots of blood-borne thingies. One recent patient had 4 different strains of hepatitis. There's some brochures out on the table about the work of this group, and I've been absolutely blown away by watching this vision and this dynamo of a dental nurse work with God to make it all a reality, and it's pretty amazing to share in some small way with the fulfilment of her prayer.
Now, next, Heather Oates is going to share with us that Heather can't come out the front because she's got a broken leg. So we'll have it from here.
Thanks, Don. I'd just like to share a little bit with you about my experience with an organisation called Pioneers, which you may never have heard of. Back in 1988, I went to work for a traditional missionary society called Asia Pacific Christian Mission, and I was working as an accounts clerk there. And in 10 years that I was there, the number of missionaries going out was gradually decreasing. People were reaching retiring age and finishing, and there just weren't younger people coming through. And there was a concern that the mission might no longer be viable. In 1998, they were invited to join an organisation, an international organisation called Pioneers. And they did that along with another traditional missionary society. And from that time, there's been a great change in the organisation. Pioneers internationally works in 51 countries, and they have 1,100 cross-cultural workers. And what they seek to do is to reach those people who have no other Christian witness, unreached people groups, people who don't have a local church. There's no church in their own particular people group. And so through Pioneers, the opportunities opened up for people from Australia to serve in many different and diverse places. Another thing that's fairly unique to Pioneers is that they seek to put people where the people feel God is leading them. So if a person feels called to reach the Kazakh people in Russia, then pioneers will work with them to either join them up with an established pioneers team, or if pioneers have no team in that area, they will work with them to establish their own team so that people can go to where they feel the Lord is calling them to go and serve the Lord in the way that they feel he's leading them. And this has really changed the whole face of the mission that I worked for. At the moment, pioneers missionaries comprise 5% of the Australian missionary workforce. This year, 23 adults have gone out in overseas service, and there's a possibility of another 12 before the end of the year. And the people who are going into these areas are not just young people, although there are young people, but there are young people, couples, couples with young children, couples with 5 children, folk whose children are grown up, and retirees, all of them are serving God in ways that they feel he is leading them through the Pioneers organisation. And though I retired 3 years ago from working there, I have been helping on a voluntary basis over the last couple of years, and it's a real encouragement to be part of an organisation that is enabling people to serve God as he leads them. And I just really appreciate the prayers of the people of St Alf's for folk who are serving the Lord in varied and different places, in different ways, through pioneers. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Heather. Now, Tinica, whereabouts are you? Tinica is going to share with us about English teaching.
Just to keep it short, I'm going to read it. Migrants and learning English has been much discussed in the media recently. Okay, and this year I have written my migration story, and I wondered how my mum and dad learnt English. And as far as I know, it was by osmosis from their 9 children and no English classes. But from my own migrant experiences, I can empathise with migrants today in Australia. Their fears, their isolation, their struggles, the language difficulties, and their attempts at trying to fit into a different culture. And I think the biggest struggle is learning the English language. I've been part of a special English class at Baldwin Gospel Chapel for the last 6 years, every Friday morning for 3 hours. After morning tea, as it is in a church building, we particularly focus on the Bible. And one day, not having finished the previous part of the lesson, we tried to skip the Bible bit, but the class really objected. And we love presenting the stories of Jesus. I say present as opposed to telling, because we get them to do the telling and discovering and drawing conclusions. We give them pictures of a story to sequence, we pose questions, we get them to retell the stories to each other, we get them to enact them or rewrite them as a group, and sometimes to memorise them. And sometimes we might take a couple of Fridays to perhaps just cover one little story about Jesus. And it's exciting to have times just to listen to their deep questions and hear how some are reading the Gospels at home. This is what has excited me of recent years, partnership and the realisation that it is all God's Spirit in wooing a person to Christ. I'm hoping that I'll be able to use these skills when Paul and I go overseas. We would like to be in community and come along some missionary families and a community project. We had a little trial run this year when we went to Brunei and Sabah, and Paul gave some handyman support to a missionary, and I did some English teaching with her. So our prayer is the English class, and for us too, that when we're out and about, to help us to make eye contact with migrants. Give them a smile. I recently had a conversation with someone who's been here for a short while, and she said, people don't look me in the face. They see me and they turn their face away. And that really touched me. And the other prayer is to for us to trust God in leading, in God's leading as we step out this year. Thank you.
And last but not least, we've got Mark Francis, who's going to share with us about his work with Scripture Union.
Last. Here we go. Well, I reckon I've got one of the greatest jobs around because I'm the camps coordinator at Scripture Union Victoria, and I love camping. And camping is an activity where you can spend time with people doing things that you wouldn't normally do, and it's a great opportunity to have all sorts of conversations and special moments. They're memorable experiences often, and people remember them for a long, long time. Up on the board there, you'll see one of our community-based adventure camps, which we've had. That was about a month ago, and that was with a group of at-risk kids, a mentoring program from Boronia. And we were able to facilitate that bushwalk with them. And about 50% of the weekend camps I run are for at-risk kids. The rest of them are for church groups and for other organisations. They often entail an adventure focus, like whitewater rafting or canoeing or sailing, or bushwalking, things like that. But we also have traditional camps as well. And I manage a campsite down on the Gippsland Lakes called Coolamatong, and it's a real pleasure to get down there. Yvonne and I and the family have just been down there and got back yesterday, and I went hunting around for the slides, which I was hoping to show you, and discovered that they're at the office where I haven't been for 2 weeks. So these are the ones you've got. We have holiday camps as well, and I'm involved with training and appointing volunteers to make those camps happen. This is one of our family camps last summer, which happened just before I landed on my head and gave myself a brain injury, but I'm over that now. Okay. If you'd like to know more about our camping ministry or some of the other ministries of Scripture Union Victoria, you can go to our website and see what I do there. There's also all my support letters there if you're interested in finding out more about what I do and what I've been up to and why I haven't been at church lately.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark. Well, thank you for all those people who've shared with us this morning. It's been a rich morning, hasn't it, of information about the various missions and individuals, and lots of things for us to continue to pray about. And I'm sure any of those folk would be happy to chat with you after the service.